Welcome to the Dare to Multiply podcast. On this podcast, we help passionate Jesus followers become courageous, obedient disciples who impact their communities for the kingdom of God. I'm your host, Cynthia Anderson, a disciple multiplication coach and trainer. I'm going to show you how to make and multiply disciples in your area. God's got great things ahead for you. Let's dare to multiply.
We've all heard the stories. Tens of thousands of believers, amazing miracles, it's the book of Acts all over again. But sometimes, if we're honest, there's this nagging doubt, like, is it really real? Are the huge numbers that are being reported in disciple-making movements and church planning movements around the world, are they real? Are they able to be verified? I know I had those questions and still sometimes have them when I hear certain numbers, and we're going to be talking about that. We're going to have some honest talk about movements today on the Dare to Multiply podcast. So we'll be back with that in just a minute.
Are you busy but not seeing the fruit you long for? Dissatisfied with your present level of impact on those around you? Or frustrated with traditional methods of discipleship that don't seem to be effective? If so, the Getting Started in Disciple Making Movements course may be just what you need. Inside the Getting Started program, you'll get access to a step-by-step proven approach to making and multiplying disciples. Not only will you receive 25 short and practical video teachings spread out over 6 modules, but you'll have a chance to connect with others for group coaching via our monthly Zoom calls. And even more importantly, you'll become part of a global community of like-minded people from all over the world who are passionately committed to following Jesus and impacting others around them. If you want to get unstuck and begin moving forward as a disciple who makes disciples, I encourage you to go to courses.dmmsfrontiermissions.com and sign up for this powerful program today. And now to today's episode.
Okay, let's dive right in. Honest talk about movements. Are the claims exaggerated? That's what we're talking about here today. You know, I was sitting in a restaurant with an American pastor of a microchurch effort. They were just starting another new microchurch and had previously been a traditional pastor. And I shared with him this story from West Africa about this incredible miracle and how it led to churches that multiplied and spread throughout the region. And it was an incredible story. And as I was sharing it with him, he was looking at me and then he said, "You know, Cynthia, I have a love-hate relationship with those stories. I love them because it's so exciting what God is doing and I believe you, but I hate them because they're not happening here and I so desperately want them to." You know, sometimes that sense of disillusionment can kind of make us really critical or highly skeptical of the stories we hear about in a way that actually is not necessarily godly. I have to confess that I have been in that position before where I've heard a story like that. I remember in the early days in India when Rod Gilbert, who I would love to have on the podcast one day, was sharing these stories of exponential growth. And we were working hard in our area. We were out there every day laboring, sharing Jesus with people, loving on the poor and needy. And we were not seeing anything close to what they were seeing there. And so I doubted those statistics. I wondered, is it really real? Is he over-reporting? Are those things actually happening? And, you know, I was a bit cynical, actually, about some of the data and statistics I was hearing. Recently, just the other day, I got a letter from a friend, an email from a friend who's a missionary in a country in Southeast Asia, a restricted access nation. And she wrote to me and she said, "Cynthia, I really appreciate that you sometimes are willing to talk about how hard it can be to see a movement, because some of the reports we hear, they just seem so exaggerated." And she was asking me, do people like count every disciple making group that they attempt to start or that starts and they run once or twice or five times, and they count that as a church. And they, you know, they continue to report on that, even if it dissolved and it stopped after, you know, 5 or 6 weeks. And that does happen. Sometimes groups we form or house churches we form do not continue. And she had some real concerns about some of the data she was hearing in the nation, where she was very, very familiar with what was happening. And so I wanted to have this podcast today to talk about some honest facts regarding movements. And you know, another friend worked in China, and they went to a place where they had heard that there were many, many groups started and a movement had taken place. And they said to me, "Cynthia, I couldn't find any evidence at all that that had happened there. I didn't find any Christians in that area. And we were there quite a long time researching and looking, and we saw no evidence of a movement having taken place there 20 years ago. And so I just want to be honest and say there are some real reasons to doubt, right? Not every statistic that you hear about disciple-making movements or church-planting movements is accurate. I hope that doesn't disappoint you, but that's the reality. Not every statistic is accurate. However, some of them are, and we're going to talk more about that and why there's a real reason to hope. I listed down some raw truths that I want to just mention. First of all, most movements do not start fast. We talk about rapidly multiplying movements, but I just want to say again that in the beginning, they do not multiply rapidly, right? In the beginning, there's a lot of hard groundbreaking work of looking for those persons of peace, starting those first groups, discipling those early believers well, life on life, dealing with issues in people's lives, discipling. It can be really hard work, and it can be difficult to see rapid progress in the beginning, especially in certain nations, right? Now, there are some places, like in certain countries of West Africa, where there's such a ripeness and there's such a spiritual hunger that groups seem to really take off fast and be able to start and multiply, you know, almost immediately. But in most places, movements don't start fast. They start slow, and then they begin to accelerate as the right DNA is put in, and that DNA begins to multiply and multiply and multiply. And even as you look at the math, right? When you look at the math, in the beginning stages, the first 3 or 4 or 5 or 8 multiplication times, it's not exponential. That exponential curve comes later on in the movement. I think the movements that are multiplying really fast and starting fast are movements that are starting movements, right? Where there's already the right DNA, okay? And they're not having to unwind a lot of traditional church or legacy church thinking. They're not having to unwind a lot of church culture in the people that they're discipling and working with. In places where movements are starting rapidly and growing rapidly, they're starting in places resistant to Christianity, in underground situations mostly, and in situations where a movement is starting another movement, or in highly fertile soil, I'd have to say, places like Malawi, they're multiplying rapidly. In certain other areas, you know, they're multiplying really, really fast. So most movements don't start fast. They can become rapid after the 4th or 5th or 6th generation, when that exponential curve takes off. Second raw truth I wanted to give you is the movements that start fast are started by other movements. Okay, yep, I already said that. Then the third one is many movement efforts don't ever go anywhere. Right, that's just the raw truth. Many movement efforts don't ever go anywhere. They never get beyond 2nd generation, maybe 3rd generation. They never hit the exponential curve. Honestly, it's less than 10% of movement efforts that actually take off into that exponential, rapidly multiplying kind of event, you know, where that's happening among them less than 10%. Some people would put it as low as 1% of efforts that actually hit that kind of rapid growth. But you know what? I have come to really realize that that's okay. You know, as long as there's some multiplication, as long as people are coming to Christ, as long as disciples are being made, it's not a failure if you don't hit fourth generation, right? There's no magic number in the Bible, right, that says, you know, if you don't hit fourth generation, you didn't fulfill the Great Commission. No, it's not there, okay? Jesus just said, go and make disciples of all nations. So if we are actively doing that and training others to do that, then that's a success, okay? But not all movement efforts take off. The fourth truth I wanted to share is that movements are costly. Movements are costly, not in money. I'm not talking about money. In fact, I talk a lot about how money can destroy movements, but they are costly when it comes to perseverance and suffering. Perseverance and suffering. They are costly when it comes to persecution. They are costly when it comes to prayer and laboring in prayer, fasting and prayer, martyrdom, spiritual warfare, loss of life many times. Almost every movement I know of has involved some kind of significant suffering that has taken place in the life of the catalyst and those who have started them. And I don't say that to scare you, but just to be honest, right? I want to be honest about movements as we talk about them, that there is a price to pay. And it is a price where we say, I'm willing to pick up my cross and follow Jesus. There is a cost involved in catalyzing movements. But, you know, he is worthy. Just today, I was at a worship time for YWAM here in Thailand, and we sang, he is worthy of it all. He is worthy of it all. And Jesus is worthy of the price. He paid that price for us, and we need to be willing to pick up our cross and follow him and pay that price. But movements are costly. And the last truth I want to share is that not every report about movements is highly accurate. Not every report is highly accurate. Tracking and reporting of data in movements is difficult, especially once things begin to grow exponentially. It's not easy to track. And though I really believe most movement leaders and leadership elderships are trying to track accurately, that their hearts are in the right place, not everyone sends in accurate reports from the field. Not everyone sends in any report at all. So sometimes guesstimates are used. Well, we think that they're growing at this percentage. So, you know, in most places, so we'll just apply that here. There's estimates that are sometimes used. I personally don't do that. I don't like to use estimates to calculate movement growth. But some people do that. So not every report you hear about movements is accurate. And there are times where I've seen people exaggerate their reports, hoping for foreign funding. Okay, so that's just the reality. That's the hard talk. That's the real raw truth about movements. Having said that, I want to share some good news with you. Okay, movements are indeed happening. As a movement practitioner myself, I have seen movements start. I have seen them go exponential. I've seen them hit that exponential curve. I've been in the field talking to the people, validating that those groups are actually there. Movements are happening in many, many thousands of places around the world. They are real, they are happening, and they are growing exponentially in many, many places. The average, they say, is well over 10,000 believers in movements that are being reported, and there are almost 2,000 movements that are on the books today as they're validated movements that are happening in the world. Truly Acts-style miracles are taking place where people are coming to faith. They're going to others, they're sharing their faith, they're starting groups, they're starting house churches, and things are going really, really rapidly in some of those areas. Many movements that I've seen and whose leaders I know personally, they are extremely careful and detailed in their reporting. And some of the movements in Indonesia are phenomenal about how they report. I'm so, so impressed. These are some of the largest movements in our world today. They are very, very detailed, very, very accurate. They confirm and they check their reports. And I just have such respect for the men who are involved in that, the men and women in those movements. Highly detailed, highly accurate, highly accountable in what they are reporting. And so I would just say movements, we can be encouraged. They really are happening in the world today. They're one of the most exciting things that God is busy doing in the world today. And if you get to be a part of it in any way, even just by praying for movements or experimenting with movements in your own neighborhood, you're a part of something that God is doing in the world today. They're the real deal. They're actually happening. And, you know, the other good news I have is just that while not every movement gets to fourth generation, which, again, that's not some biblical number. I'd like to do a podcast sometime about why we use four generations as a sort of marking point of when a movement has begun. But there's no magic number, and not every movement gets there to four generations or moving into that exponential growth. But there's a ton of really, really amazing things that are good things that happen when we engage in movement work, even if you never get there to that exponential growth, right? It's amazing. It's wonderful what happens as we begin to equip every disciple to make disciples, every believer to be engaged in the Great Commission, as we start to train and push people out of the church building into the world and activate them to be ministers of the kingdom, to be the royal priests that they are. Good things happen through that, right? Whether you see a movement that gets on the books as a classified movement or not, the Word of God is studied and internalized and talked about by people in their own homes and in coffee shops and under trees. Like, that's a good thing, no matter what you see happen, right? If that happens once, that's a good thing. So we celebrate that. There's life on life disciple making and transformation and community that forms. The body of Christ is forming through movement efforts, whether they go exponential or not. The lost are hearing about Jesus. We celebrate that. A lot of prayer is taking place. Prayer for the lost, prayer for our communities, prayer for transformation. That's a good thing. That's something to celebrate. And there's renewal that comes in the life of believers who engage in movement work, right? They start a discovery Bible study in their neighborhood. It brings such renewal to their own personal lives and their walks with Christ. And that's a good thing. So I just want to say to you in conclusion here, as we wrap up this short talk on this short, honest talk about DMMs and CPMs and the numbers that are reported, I just want to say that movements are happening and they are a good thing and they are the real deal. Not every number is accurate, but many, many are. And many movements actually are underreporting. I know that for a fact. I know that it's so difficult to track. Even what we're doing in Disciple Makers Increase, we have so much more happening than we actually report. We only report what we actually have data on, but we know that there's much more that's happening. So many, many movement efforts are actually under-reporting. The reports that you hear are less than what is happening. So it's exciting today. And again, in conclusion, movements took place in the New Testament. Jesus started a movement that spread rapidly by the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul started movements in different cities that spread throughout all of the Asia Minor region and world that was there, that by the end of his life, he could say that the gospel had spread to every region. They happened in the New Testament and they are happening today. And I just want to encourage you, they can happen where you are too. Don't be dismayed. Don't be discouraged if you aren't seeing it yet. If you're in that place where it seems really slow, take heart. Take heart. What you're doing is important and it's valuable, whether it ever goes exponential or not. Though that's what we're aiming at. That's what we're believing for. And I just want to encourage you that if you are daring to aim for multiplication, then you are right in line with the heart of God. And he is so encouraged and he is so pleased by what he sees in you. He's looking down from heaven saying, well done, my faithful servant. You're not just going for mediocrity. You're not just going for the status quo. You're aiming to live out a life that reflects what I did in the book of Acts. And you're aiming for multiplication for every disciple to become a disciple maker. He's well pleased with that, my friend. We'll be right back with an action step for you in just a moment.
Imagine a world where passionate followers of Jesus come together to multiply, transforming lives beyond imagination. Instead of toiling with little fruit, what if God's abundance flowed beyond your wildest dreams? Picture those you've invested in sharing Jesus freely, creating a ripple effect of disciple-making. In her new book, The Multiplier's Mindset, Cynthia Anderson reveals how shifting mindsets can revolutionize disciple-making. When Cynthia and her colleagues experienced these mindset shifts, they saw enormous results, including the launching of 19 multiplying movements in Africa and Asia, transforming tens of thousands of lives. This book will help you discover hidden harvesters, see church members move from passivity to passion, and release the power of simplicity in multiplying disciples. Don't remain stuck. Learn to move toward greater fruitfulness. Visit multipliersmindset.com and get your copy of The Multiplier's Mindset today.
All right, here's your action step. I hope this honest talk was encouraging to you. Some of the things I said aren't necessarily that encouraging, but I hope the honesty and, you know, just straight talk about movements has encouraged you. You don't need to be a skeptic. You can believe in faith. You can believe that what the Word of God describes happening in the book of Acts can happen today. It can happen in your place. So what I want you to do is just examine your heart. Is there any skepticism that is ungodly that's crept into my soul, into my spirit, where I'm more critical of things I hear than I need to be because of my own maybe feeling intimidated by the numbers that I'm not seeing in my area yet? If that's you, I just want you to confess that before the Lord, as I have done more than once, and say, Lord Jesus, help me. I don't want to be a skeptic. I want to be a faith-filled follower of Jesus who's aiming high because I serve a mighty God who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all we can ask or think. And I want to, in faith, go after the things that you've put in my heart. I want to believe that what's happening in those other places can happen for me. It can happen through me. It can happen where I'm at. I want to believe that, God. But even if it doesn't, I'm going to continue to aim there because whatever we're doing is all good. It's good. We're making disciples. We're out there sharing Jesus with people. We're praying for the lost. And these are all things that bring joy to your heart, God. So confess that and speak to your soul in that area and really guard yourself, my friend, against skepticism and cynicism that can really destroy our faith because it's not of God and it's not where we want to go. So evaluate your own heart in that area. Repent if you need to and continue forward doing what God has called you to do. Continue to dare to multiply. Multiply. God bless you. I'll see you back in the next episode.
That's all we've got for this episode of the Dare to Multiply podcast. One thing that would really help both us and other new potential listeners is for you to rate this show and leave a comment in iTunes, on Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you tune in to listen. Also, make sure to link up with us at dmmsfrontiermissions.com/blog, on social media, and please just share this podcast with anyone you think might enjoy it. Until next time, remember, God's dreams for us are always bigger than we can imagine.